Gutavach, Ashvua Tov. This is Reuven Wolf from Los Angeles, California, Mayon Yisrael Hasidic Center. I'd like to welcome you all to today's class. As we've done in the past, we're learning a piece of the Tanya that is connected to this week's Parsha. I'd just like to announce, as I've done in the previous classes, that this class has not yet been established as a permanent class on the radio. If you'd like to have this class continuing on a weekly basis, please help us out by going to our website at mayon.com, that's M-A-A-Y-O-N.com, and send us an email, or you can make a contribution, but please specify specifically that this is for the Tanya on the radio. This week's Parsha is Parshas Ve'era, and in the Parsha, we're reading about the Makis that Hashem brought on Mitzrayim, which were intended to bring about the liberation of the Jewish people from Egyptian bondage, from Galus Mitzrayim. Now, the interesting thing is that at this Parsha, it has not yet been fully accomplished, because it's only in next week's Parsha, Parsha's Bo, in which the Jews are set free from Mitzrayim after the plague of the firstborn, after that very, very powerful plague of Makas Bechoris. But until then, Yidden are still in Mitzrayim. Nevertheless, we're still in a celebratory mood this week's Parsha. It's a happy Parsha, because we're feeling the grip of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is beginning to loosen up on their tight grip upon the Jewish people. Now, and as much as we know that Yetzias Mitzrayim is a very personal thing, it's not just something that happened in our history. It's not only relating to our past, but as we know, that was an obligation to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every day. And as we learned last week in our shir last week, Motzei Shabbos, that this is it means in a spiritual sense that we're supposed to go out of Egypt every day. And that means that a person, what is Egypt? Egypt, the word Mitzrayim means constrictions and limitations. And that is that our neshama is constricted. Our soul comes from a place where there is boundless energy, because our neshama is part of Hashem from above. When the soul comes into a body, the soul gets constricted by the limitations of this world, primarily the limitations of a physical body and the demands of the what we call the nefesh abahamas, the animal soul, the ego within man. Which means the neshama has only one ambition and one desire, and that is to cleave to God. It could cleave to Hashem all day long through the study of Torah, doing a mitzvah. But the body and the animalistic side of man and the Yetzer Hara keep the neshama so busy, keep it so occupied with materialistic pursuits, and that is extremely painful for the neshama. That is a prison for the soul. So the soul wants to come out of these constrictions and limitations of the body. And that is the ongoing mitzvah, or the ongoing job of a human being, to get himself out of that constriction and that limitation. When a person can achieve this to the fullest, then they are a tzaddik. A tzaddik is someone who can, once and for all, breaks out of the limitations of their animalistic drives and wants, and they devote themselves completely, without wholeheartedly, all the time, to only one thing, and that is to execute God's will in this world, so they're connected to Hashem all the time. However, until a person reaches that point, is a very, 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 very difficult struggle. And he's going to explain that that struggle is something that is possible for a person to be in that state their entire life. Their entire life. They might not get out of Egypt completely, but they might be struggling with this Egyptian constrictions of the body. And that is the relationship of this parak that we're going to learn with Parshas Ve'era, which with the story of the Makis in this Parsha, because in this Parsha also we don't have complete liberation, but we have the fight between Kedusha and Klipa, between the holy and the unholy, to gain liberation. And that is a situation where most of us are at. We're not there yet. We're not a tzaddik. We're not able to say once and for all, there's no more distraction, there's no more ego in our life. But as long as we're not throwing in the towel, as long as we're not consenting, as long as we're not giving in and saying it's all over, I'm just an animal and I'm going to live my life like an animal, but rather the person maintains and continues their struggle, their continuous struggle to fight for their soul, to fight for their spiritual identity, that is the content of Parshas Ve'era as it relates to us personally. And that is what we're going to learn in this chapter. This is Perek Chav Zayin, page 66 in the Tanya, chapter 27. And he says like this, V'ma atzvus, but if someone is being depressed and sad, A person is not worried and not about sins that they've done in the past. Elo, because in these chapters, the Tanya is dealing with a person being sad. So he's giving all kinds of reasons why a person would be sad. And one of them would be they're sad about their sins that they've done in the past. So he says, but if that, and that's what he deals with in the previous chapter. But in this chapter, he's saying, if a person is being sad, not because of sins that they've done. Elo mehirudim ra'im, from negative thoughts. The tivus ra'is, and negative impulses. That occur in a person's thoughts. The person is upset that, you know, how come they feel that they can never get past. You have a yetzahara, you have an urge to do a sin, and you conquer it, you don't sin. And then you wake up the next morning and your yetzahara is back. It's here again. And then you think and you crush it, and it's back again. And this continues and continues. Whatever kind of yetzahara it is, whether it's a yetzahara to hurt other people through, say, lashon hara, to get back at someone, you have rage, resentment to someone, whether it's a lust or an impulse to do something immoral, whatever that is, the fact that it... You conquer your Yetzirah, and it keeps on coming back again and again and again. And this, for any thinking person, can become very, very sad, depressing. Because I feel like I'm not moving anywhere. I'm not becoming a tzaddik. I'm not becoming a very holy person and a good person. Because look at me, as much as I try to advance, I'm still stuck in the same place. So good, I'm not sinning. I'm doing the right thing. But what have I accomplished by controlling myself all the time? If that's all that's going to be, I'm going to have to control myself all my life. And over here in this parak, the Rebbe is going to explain, the Tanya is going to explain, how the actual controlling of yourself, that itself is an unbelievable accomplishment and has tremendous repercussions, powerful, holy consequences in the entire universe. And that itself could be the reason why a person is created, and therefore you shouldn't be upset about it, but you're actually fulfilling the purpose, that which Hashem wants of the person. That's similar to the Makkos in Mitzrayim, which the actual breaking of Mitzrayim itself, that was a reason to celebrate, even if it did not bring yet the liberation. So let's see. Let's see how he develops this. If these thoughts occur to a person, not at the time of davening, but rather in the time when a person is busy with his business, and his own worldly affairs, whatever he's doing, he or she are doing, or the like. He says, on the contrary, you shouldn't get saddened and depressed about the fact that you have these distractions of these thoughts occurring in one's mind all the time. Yes, a person should rejoice in his lot. That even though these horrible thoughts are coming up to a person's thoughts all the time, the person is diverting his attention from them, to fulfill that which it says in the pasuk. Don't go astray after your heart, and after your eyes, and that you are being led astray by them. The sages say that this is referring to means thoughts of doubts in regards to emuna and faith in God, and then the and thoughts and after your eyes means to be led after what our eyes see. Sometimes we see certain things that are immodest. And therefore, and they create certain urges and desires within a person. So the mitzvah is that a person should not go follow their eyes and not follow their heart. So over here, the Tanya is saying, instead of getting upset and saddened by the fact that you have this evil inclination and yetzahara all the time, he says that's not a reason to be sad. Quite on the contrary, if you're doing the right thing and you're not giving in to the yetzahara, then what you should do is, then quite on the contrary, this is a reason for immense celebration. It should make a person very happy. Because why? Because now you had an opportunity in the middle of the day to do a mitzvah. Not always do you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah. You know, we're happy when a mitzvah comes our way, a special mitzvah. Here Hashem is sending you a mitzvah because the mitzvah is to reject the negative desire. The pasuk is not speaking about tzaddikim. They don't follow their heart because they don't have a negative heart. They don't have an impulse to do wrong. Because the pasuk is saying, that you are being led astray by them, implying that we're dealing with a person that is being led astray, meaning there's something pulling him towards negativity. And the person is not allowing, is not following that pull. So the ein akasim edabe b'tzadikim, the pasuk is not speaking about tzadikim lekaram zonim chas v'shalom, to call them zonim, those that are being led astray. Ela b'beinim, we're talking about average people, kiyotzaboy and the like, meaning either a beinani, an average person, or someone even less than that, a rasha, meaning according to the Tanya's, someone who is, you know, once in a while doesn't have air, is also considered a weak person, which is the idea of the Rasha, which we're not going to get into right now. So, but all these people who are, yes, who are being, the attractions of their heart are leading them astray. That occurs to them, negative thoughts, thoughts, immoral thoughts occur in their mind, b'machshavta, in their thoughts, bein beheter, whether permissible, because if a person is thinking about a physical intimacy, even if you're thinking about it in a permissible form, but the fact that you're thinking about it during the day, then that's a distraction, and that's considered a sinful thought, and you shouldn't think about it. And definitely chulu, if it's thinking about it in a non-kosher way, then for sure that is forbidden. So that thought is coming to a person's mind. What he's saying of is like this: you're not responsible for the first thought. The moment the thought occurs to a person's mind, that it flashes in your mind, that negative thought, that's not a sin, because you're not in control over it. But where is the sin considered a sin? If you allow the thought to linger in your mind, to continue thinking, that is considered sinful. But he says, but if the person catches himself, his or herself, the moment the thought occurs to their mind, and they say, no, I'm not going to think that, because that's not what Hashem wants me to think, that's not what I was created for, when a person diverts his attention, then what is happening, their fulfillment of a mitzvah, because they're fulfilling this a Torah obligation, this negative prohibition, they're fulfilling it. The sages say, that if a person sits and doesn't sin, which means you have an opportunity to sin and you don't sin, then you're given reward, like you did a mitzvah. So just like you would rejoice and feel it's a tremendous chus and a tremendous opportunity when a mitzvah comes your way to help someone is stuck on the road, their car broke down in a dark road, and you're driving by and you say, wow, Hashem gave me the mitzvah, I can pick someone up and help them out. So here's Hashem giving you an opportunity to serve him, an incredible mitzvah, because Hashem rewards a person like he did a mitzvah. And therefore tzarech l'smayach, you're supposed to rejoice b'kiyum alav, in the fulfillment of this, of the negative prohibition, by not doing the avera, kamoi b'kiyum mitzvah saseh, like you would be rejoicing in the fulfillment of a positive commandment, mamash, literally. V'adarab, on the contrary, he says, atzvas u'magasas aruach, if a person is getting saddened and depressed about it, that's a sign that they're arrogant. Why? She'ena makar makaymai. They don't recognize their place. They think they're on a very high level. They're a tzaddik. Well, there's only very few real tzaddikim. Very few people that are born with that capacity of being a real, real tzaddik. And that is someone who has no yetzahara anymore. The alken, and therefore, yeira levavai, their heart is feeling bad. Al she'ena b'madregis tzaddik, on this, that they're not on the level of tzaddik. I expected. I thought I'm a tzaddik. And here, look at these ugly thoughts that are coming my way. Shall the tzaddikim, because that's true. Because the tzaddikim, to bevadai, definitely, ain noithum lohirude shtus ke'elu. Tzadikim, don't occur to them such foolish thoughts. But and that's why the person is sad. Look at me, I'm thinking, I'm having these thoughts. Ke'elu hayamakar mekaymoi, because if a person would recognize his place, shurachek mo'id memadregis tzadik, that he's very far from the level of tzadik, v'alavai hayabainani, it would be wonderful if a person can be a bainani. A bainani is someone, according to the Tanya, who has a regular urge, a regular yetzahara to do an avera, but is always conquering it and always doing what's right. So that would be wonderful if we can always do what's right. V'loy rasha, and not become a rasha, kol yom of any, during one's lifetime at all, never become a rasha, even for 1 hour. That would be wonderful, and that's if I can do that, that's great. And what is the avoda, what is the service of the beinoni? A Beinoni is someone who has Yetzahara to do that which is, first of all, not to do what is good, and also to do what is bad. You have Yetzahara, and you conquer it, and you don't do what the evil inclination wants. Harezoisu midas ha-Beinonim. This is the Midah, this is the measure of the Beinoni. Vavidasam and his servants, her service, lichboish ha-Yetzer, to conquer the evil inclination. Vahahirer, and this negative thought, ha-Olem ha-Leiv l'Molach, that comes up from the heart to the mind. Because where does the thought come from? It's coming from the heart. The heart has the Yetzirah, the evil inclination that's in the heart. You have a negative emotion. You have a certain impure love or passion towards things that are not good. And that thought and that emotion is sending up a message to the brain because it wants you to entertain the thought. And when the person doesn't allow that thought to linger, and instead, what is the avoda of the Beinoni? To reject the thought. Ula siach daito legamre, and to divert their attention completely, mimenu from it. Ulitchoisoi b'shtei yodayim, and to reject it and push it away with two hands. Kenis kliya, which means a very forceful rejection. So, but a person can say, very good. Okay, so I'm fulfilling a mitzvah, but still, what am I accomplishing with my life? What is my life worth? If all at the best I can do is just continuously not sin. Okay, so I'm not sinning, but I haven't gotten any better. And I'm not accomplishing anything. Meil that tzaddik, he's refining himself. He's becoming holy. He's becoming so good. He's becoming so pure. No, his life, he advanced. But what's happening to me? So over here, the Tanya reveals to us something so incredible, something so unbelievable. He says, you're doing an unbelievable service that even the tzaddik can't do. And what is that? U'b'chol t'chiyah v'tchiyah, every single time that the person pushes away his Yetzirah, even if it happens one time, and 10 minutes later again the Yetzirah comes again with the same thought, and then it appears again a half an hour later, and it doesn't leave you one moment of rest. It keeps on reoccurring again and again and again. You know, from you push it away and it keeps on coming back, and therefore it can be so heartbreaking. He says, no, but every single time you reject that negative thought, that you chase it out of one's thought, what you're doing is an incredible thing. Is kafya sitra achra? You're breaking the sitra achra. You're breaking the other side. You see, Hashem created unholiness in this world. Unholiness is this vast power that is within the world. It's a spiritual power that exists that is here to block on Hashem, and it's the source of all evil and all negativity and all impurity in the world. It is the opposing force against sitra the kedusha, the side of holiness. Now, this sitra the achra, the other side, has a little agent inside every human being's heart. And that is the Yetzirah. It is not just working for himself. He's working for this huge company called Sitra Achra, that which stands against God, that's here to produce impurity in this world. And you have a little agent, a little ambassador in your heart. So he says like this: every time this Sitra Achra, Yetzirah, makes a proposal in your heart and suggests that what? You should do something that is going to be pleasing and pleasurable to you, even though you know clearly it's against God's will. So that means there is a Yetzirah that's trying, that wants to represent the Sitra Achra in your life. And what are the person doing? When the person says no to it, and you deny its request, and you push him out, which means you give him a slam and you knock him out, tell him get out of here. What happens? Upisarus. So as that iskafya sitra achra latata, you've subdued the sitra achra down here in your own little world. You subdued the darkness. Upisarusa de latata. And when the person has this little arousal below here, isarusa de leela, it causes a arousal above. Viskafya sitra achra leela, and the sitra achra above, the entire realm of impurity above, also gets a slam, which means the forces of Kedusha send a powerful bomb, a powerful force to crush the Sitra Achra that's up there. Because everything we do down here is multiplied a million times, a billion times up there. So then the person unleashes his Nefesh HaLikis, his holiness, to reject the Sitra Achra and deliver a powerful blow to the Sitra Achra. The same thing happens in above on a much, much, much higher level. And a complete devastating blow to the realm of the Sitra Achra. So the person thinks, when you have this urge to sin, and you have the feeling you're so dirty, you're so ugly, you're so lowly, you're so black, you're so impure, there's such darkness in a person's life. Look how unholy I am to have these thoughts. So he's saying, nay, please recognize, he's saying, connected to your impurity that you have over here is this big power of impurity up there, and your mission is that you should be a warrior, and you should shoot and break that klipa. And when you break it down here, you're causing the forces of evil to be broken in the entire universe. And that is a tremendous joy to Hashem. There is no greater pleasure to Hashem than when his enemy, that which opposes him in this world so brazenly and with such chutzpah, is defeated. As he says, the Sitra Achra de Li'ela is subdued. And why is that so joyous? Because the nature of the Sitra Achra is that it's so haughty, it's so pompous, it's so full of itself. And with tremendous chutzpah, it stands against Hashem. Hamagbiya atzma, she raises herself, Kenesher, like an eagle. Lekaya mashanesa, like to fulfill that which it says in Tagbiya Kenesher, if you rise like an eagle, what happens then? Hashem says, Mishamay ritcha, from there I will slam you down. So there, Hashem, so says Hashem. Ukamashi hiflik b'zayar pashas truma, and in Zohar pashas truma, the Zohar dafkuf chavches, the Zohar makes a tremendous statement. And it says, the Zohar says that it's incredible, the joy and the nachas that Hashem has from that which is when negativity, when Sitra Achra is broken, there is no bigger simcha, there's no greater pleasure, there's no greater revelation of Hashem's power in the world than when that which opposes him is defeated. But goydol nachas ruach lefan of the Zohar says over there, the great pleasure that Hashem delights, kadaskafi Sitra Achra, when the Sitra Achra is subdued, latata down here below, the istalik, you cut it, the kutcher berichu li'ela, the glory of Hashem is then glorified and elevated, al kula, over all worlds, yater mishuf chachra, more than any other praise. The istalkes da yater mekula, and this revelation and this incredible drawing down of light is so powerful, more than any other thing, meaning more than you could have accomplished with all your davening and learning and mitzvahs. Anything could not have released such light in the world like when a person breaks that klipa. So therefore, why should you be sad? You've accomplished something amazing. L'chein al yipar leva adam olav. A person's heart should not be fallen upon him. V'lo yeda levavim oid. You shouldn't be feeling very bad about this. Gam im yiyakein kol yomav. Even if you'll be this way your entire life, b'mocham v'zu, in this war. Ki ulai lekach nivra. Because maybe this is the whole purpose of your creation. And this is your unique role in this world, that you should be from these main big fighters, that is giving Hashem that pleasure, that breaking the sitra achra. Basically what it summarizes down is, if your service to Hashem is about yourself, about you, then of course you might not feel good when you're not becoming some big tzaddik. But if it's not about yourself, but it's about serving Hashem, you should know that there is no greater delight and no greater pleasure to Hashem than when the Sitra Achra is broken, when the other side is broken. And who breaks the Sitra Achra the most? The bigger the Yetzirah that you have, the uglier it is. And when the person denies it, that is a great simcha. So why should you be depressed if it happens 10 times, 100 times, 1,000 times? If it continues happening all your life, this is a tremendous chus. That we're able to do that great service to Hashem, to give such nachas ruach, such pleasure to Hashem. Agut tevach, everyone. If you'd like this shir to continue, go to mayon.com and send us an email or make a contribution, mayon.com. Agut tevach.